Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er-Shava, Vayelech Charana. I'm sure we're all familiar with the famous Rashi. Why does the Torah have to tell us that Yaakov left Be'er-Shava? Would have been sufficient for the Torah to just tell us that Yaakov went to Charan. And the answer Rashi brings from Chazal Magid, Shiyitzias Tzadik min Hamakom Oseh Roshem. Yaakov's departure from Be'er-Shava left an impression. His absence was felt. The Mefarshim wonder why the Torah chose to impart this message precisely here in connection with Yaakov and specifically with regard to Yaakov's departure from Be'er-Shava. It's not the first time in the Torah that we find a tzaddik journeying from one place to another. Avraham Avinu moved from place to place, as recounted in the earlier parashios in Sefer Bereishis. Why did the Torah choose to accentuate this message specifically with regard to Yaakov? Actually, Rashi mentions another example from Rush, and that would require its own explanation, but I'd like to focus here on Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Sheva. And I believe that the answer can be gleaned from a word that appears repeatedly in the subsequent psukim. It's a word that frames the entire episode of Yaakov's experience in the place that he appropriately names Beis El. And the word I'm referring to is Makom. For example, the very next pasuk, Vayifka Bamakom, Vayolen Sham Kivah Shemesh, Vayikach Me'avnei Hamakom, Vayasem Rashosav, Vayishkav Bamakom Hahu. A few psukim later, the Torah describes Yaakov's reaction when he wakes up after having received an extraordinary dream, along with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reassurance. Vayomer, Vayikat Yaakov Nishinaso, Vayomer Ochen Yesh Hashem, Bamakom Hazeh. Vanochi lo yadati. In the next pasuk, Vayira Vayomar, Ma Nora Hamakom Hazeh. And finally, Yaakov acknowledges the uniqueness of this makom when he says, "Vayikra eshem hamakom ahu Beis El." So again, the Torah's repeated use of the word makom, and this word makom is mentioned in connection with the concept of kedusha, the holiness that was present in this particular location. There are places in the world where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is more readily perceived. Places that are saturated with Kedusha. Sacred space, if you will. The place where Yaakov slept was such a location. It was thus appropriately named Beis El. Chazal assume, of course, that this place was none other than Har HaMoriah. Rashi explains in his own way, Har HaMoriah was uprooted and was superimposed, as it were, on Beis El. Either way, Beis El represents the notion of Kedushas Makom. I believe, parenthetically speaking, this is the pshat of the pasuk later in the parsha when Yaakov tells Lavan, it's time for me to leave. Shalcheni ve'elcha el mikomi ula'artzi. We understand what artzi means. What does mikomi mean? But Rashi, I mean, we know that Yaakov made a neder to return to Beis El and to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Yaakov had this in mind. Mekomi means to go back to that place, to Beis El, the holy place. Beis El was in Makom Kadosh. It was endowed with Kedusha prior to Yaakov's arrival. The Kedusha was bestowed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. The Kedusha was waiting to be discovered. Yaakov's chance encounter with this place led him to identify Manora HaMokom Hazeh. But there's another way in which a Mokom can become imbued with a spirit of Kedusha. And that's through the presence of a tzaddik, whose very essence radiates Kedusha. And in such cases, the extent of the tzaddik's impact is not always readily discerned when the tzaddik is there. It's the departure of the tzaddik that allows for a fuller appreciation of the fact that Hu Hoda, Hu Ziva, Hu Hadara. Note the Chazal's language. Yitzias Tzadik Min Hamakom Ose Roshem. The Makom is impacted by the Tzadik's presence. And therefore, I believe the Torah embedded this message of Vayetze Yaakov Mibe'er Shava specifically here at the beginning of Vayetze, which speaks about the concept of Kedushas HaMakom. If we look at the episode of Yaakov and Beisel, we find even more indications of the same yisod. Rashi quotes a famous Chazal, that described a quarrel that ensued between the various stones that Yaakov took with which to surround his head. What was the nature of this argument? Each stone wanted the privilege of having Yaakov's head rest upon it. Alai yaniach tzadik es rosho. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu resolved this dispute by merging all of the avanim, all of the stones into one, as it says, Vayikach es ha'even asher shom l'rash Yosef. Now this medrash is very symbolic, of course, relating to the future of Klal Yisrael, of the Shiftei Ka, all of the Shiftei Ka become one nation. Of course, that's part of the message of the medrash. But one cannot escape the lesson implicit in the literal words of the Medrash, how each stone insisted that Yaakov's head rest upon it. What's the significance of having Yaakov's head rest upon one particular stone rather than another? And what the answer is quite obvious. A tzaddik elevates his environment. Even a stone is elevated. Every aspect of the environment is elevated through a tzaddik's presence. Even something inanimate, if it's used in the service of a tzaddik, it becomes elevated. This is not my own explanation. It's articulated beautifully by the Ramchal in Mesilas Yesharim, not once, but twice, at least twice. Interestingly enough, in the first parak and the last parak. In parak Aleph, B'bir Chavas Adam Bolamo, and then in the last parak, Chavav Midas HaKedusha. Just to quote a sentence or two from the Ramchal, he writes, this is in parak Aleph, Ki hinei ilui gado hu labrios kulam biyosa mishamshe ha'adam hasholem hamakudas b'kedushaso yizbarach. It's an ilui, it's an elevation for things to be in the service of an Adam hasholem who has kedusha, and he continues to quote this Chazal bar Avnei HaMakom Shalokach Yaakov v'samir HaShosav. And at the end of the Sefer, in Perek Chavav, where he develops the Midah of Kedusha, as we'll soon discuss, the Memchal says, similar idea. He says, Al derech zeh, kol tashmi sheyishtamshu midivri ha'olam, achavei hayos mekfar divukim b'kedusha so yizbarach, hine iloi v'yisvon hu ladover ahu, hizach alios tashmish latzadik. And again, he quotes the Chazal about the Avnei HaMakom, Alai Yaniach Tzadik Es Rosho. As we noted, the Ramchal develops this idea in connection to the Midah of Kedusha. And I believe it's not a coincidence, because Yaakov Avinu's Midah is also associated very closely with the concept of Kedusha. Rav Tzadok notes in Pri Tzadik that the first three brachos of Shmoneh Esrei correspond to the Gimel Avos. The first bracha, of course, is Keneged Avram. The Chasima of the bracha is Magen Avram. The second bracha corresponds to Yitzchak, Gvuros, Atagibor, Mechai HaNesim. As we know, the experience of the Akedah symbolizes Tchias HaNesim. And the third bracha of Atakados symbolizes Yaakov Avinu. And he quotes the pasuk there, Vikdishu es Kedosh Yaakov. Goes on to say that the 12 middle brachos correspond to the Shvatim, and then you have Ephraim Menashe, so you have a 13th bracha. You can look there in Chanukah and Pri Tzadik. But what do we see? Kedusha goes together with Yaakov Avinu. Kedusha represents the ability to transform the most physical of entities into something spiritual, channeling Gashmius into Ruchnius. Kedusha is a force that impacts on other things. Kosha Yiga Bifara Yigdash, Kosha Yiga Bo Yigdash. And that's the Midah that personifies Yaakov Avinu. And I believe that's the symbolism of the Chalom, of the dream, which depicts a Sulam Mutzav Arsa, the Rosho Magia Hashamayma. What is Kedusha? Kedusha is the ability to bridge heaven and earth, to take the mundane, to take what is Mutzav Arsa, and to elevate it, to infuse it with Kedusha, to be Rosho Magia Hashamayma. One area that it's very apparent that we have to take this Mutzav Arsa and make it Magia Hashamayma is an area of wealth, of material assets. It's pointed out in the Sfarim that the gematria of Sulam, if you write it with a Vav, is the same as Mammon, 136. And we actually find Yaakov Avinu taking great pains throughout his life to protect his material assets. For example, we know he returns, Vayivasha Yaakov Avado, he's returning, Chazal tell us, for Pachim Ketanim. Chazal tell us in Chulin Daf Tzadi Aleph, Mikan Letzadikim, Shech Chaviv Maleim, Mamonam Yosem Migufam, the Kokach Lama, Shein Poshin Yidein Begezel. Tzadikim realize that their material assets are a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and these physical entities are elevated through their association with someone who embodies Kedusha. I once saw in the Sefer Chavetz Chaim HaLaTorah, explains in the same idea, when Yaakov Avinu sends the mincha to Esav, it says, Vayikach min haba v'yado mincha le'esav achiv. Says the Chavetz Chaim, the pasuk is strange. Vayikach min haba v'yado. He took literally what came up in his hand. So he explains that Yaakov realized that the spiritual qualities of these assets would be compromised once he sends them into the possession of Esav. So he didn't select them in a deliberate way. He did it in a random, haphazard way because he knew that he was taking it down a notch or two or more by sending it over to Esav. We began with the Chazal that Rashi quotes, Magid Shitzias Tzadik Min HaMakom Oseh Roshem. So after all we've said, it should be intuitive to us that this is in fact the case. But at the end of the parsha, we find something fascinating. 20 years Yaakov spends in Lavan's house. And then they part ways. Leaving Lavan's house was no simple matter. Yaakov did not inform Lavan of his intentions, of his departure. And this, of course, arouses Lavan's ire. And it leads to a showdown of sorts, as we read at the end of the parsha. So Lavan hurls accusations at Yaakov. Lama ganafta salahai, why don't you tell me that you're leaving? And Yaakov delivers the most impassioned defense of his loyalty, of his integrity, zel yesem shana b'veisecha, v'aleticha, and so on. The most beautiful, eloquent defense that one can imagine. Hearing the kedusha of Yaakov Avinu's words would move anybody to tears, right? Not Lavan. What is Lavan's response? It's jarring. He hears all of this. Vayan Lavan, Vayomer El Yaakov, Habanos Binosai, Vabanim Banai, Vatson Soni, Vachoashatoro Elihu. Everything is mine. Mamish, like nothing. He didn't take it in. Yaakov's Kedusha, this Midah of Kedusha, that can impact even on Avnei HaMakom, Olai Yaniach Tzadik Es Rosho, and here, 20 years by Lavan, nothing. Not in the slightest. And then they finally bid farewell to each other. And the Torah tells us the following. Vayashkim Lavan Baboker, Vaynashek Levanav, Vilivnosa, Vayivarach Eshem, Vayelech, Vayashav Lavan Limkomo, V'Yaakov halach l'darko, v'yifku bo malach elokim. Says the Meshech Chachma, something remarkable in the language of the Pasuk. regarding Lavan, the Torah says, Vayasav Lavan Limkomo, not a makom of Kedusha, Limkomo, to his prior state. Lavan was static. Lavan was unmoved. Lavan was unchanged. For Lavan, who was oblivious to Kedusha, there was no recognition that Yitzias Tzadik Min HaMokom Osa Roshem. Here Yaakov is leaving. You would think maybe now he would have chapped something. Nothing. But Yashav Lavan Limkomo. Yaakov, by contrast, Yaakov Halach Lidarko. Yaakov goes on a path of continued growth in the spirit of Malim Bakodesh, Vayifka Uvo Malach Elokim. So I ask you, did Yaakov bring Kedusha to Lavan's house, to Lavan's surroundings? Did he? I think he did. Most certainly he did. Kedusha is a reality. Irrespective of whether it is noticed by others or not noticed. But as the old expression goes, it takes one to know one. Yaakov, who embodied Kedusha, could discern Kedusha in Basel. So his immediate reaction was, Ochen yesh Hashem v'malkom hazeh v'anochi lo yadati, manora ha'malkom hazeh. When Yaakov leaves Be'er Sheva, there was a void that was picked up on by Yitzchak and Rivka, certainly, maybe even by others. Yitzias Tzadik Osa Roshem. But Lavan, on the other hand, was tone deaf to Kedusha. The Kedusha that emanated from Yaakov did not leave an impact on Lavan. So how did Yaakov's need of Kedusha manifest itself throughout those 20 years? The answer is, through Yaakov's accomplishments. What did Yaakov do? What did Yaakov build in those 20 years? Yaakov establishes the Shiftei Ka. All of them except Binyamin were born in the house of Lavan. We know that Yaakov Avinu is described in Parshas Toldos as Yosef Ohalim. The Yaakov Ishtam Yosef Ohalim, a dweller of tents. I saw an incredible insight in the Sefer Toras Emes. Who's the Toras Emes, if you don't know? It's the grandson of Rabbi Akiva Eger, Rabbi Levi Eger, who turned his back on his Misnagdisha roots, and he became a Chassidisha Rebbe, a Talmud of the Kotzker, and the Rebbe of Avtzadik. Yes, I don't always look at this. Your Shchus Mishtam is Shchus HaRabim. I happen to be led to see this piece. And I want to share with you something that he says in the beginning of Vayetze. He explains, Yaakov leaves Be'er Sheva. He leaves a place of Kedusha. He goes to Haran. He says it was a hachana for future generations when people leave the confines of Kedusha. But he explains, when Yaakov left Be'er Sheva, it's not really a yetziya. Yaakov Avinu, he writes, the emes mitzad atzmo lohoya nikra hadava nikra yetziya klal. Ki inyan yetziya yitochein al hayotze mirshus hayochid shehu hakedusha. Mirshus hayochid is a bechina mitzdam in Chassidus Shesfarm. You'll have to find this. I'm not sure, but it's what he says. It's a bechina of kedusha. Mirshus harabim is a bechina of the opposite of kedusha. The Yaakov Avinu, he says, Lo yotza la'ola mirshus hayachid. Ki af shahalach l'charan, shu b'chinas b'shus harabin, haya mukaf mikot sad mi'akedusha, shu b'shus hayachid. Yeshiva is learning Masech the Sukkah, so there's a lot of discussion of the status of mukaf machitzos and the status of the Sukkah, so become b'shus hayachid, nigo davidofen and Shabbos. Okay, but the b'china of being mukaf machitzos we can relate to. B'shus hayachid is mukaf machitzos. So he says, Yaakov Avinu, even as he left Rishus HaYachid, he goes to Haran, Rishus HaRabim, he really didn't leave Rishus HaYachid. Dome, he writes, Vaholech betoch ohalo, im ha'ol sevibo Rishus HaRabim. So you go to Rishus HaRabim, but you still have your ohel around you. Va'olav nemar yosef ohalim. Hainu sheyoshav tomid ba'ol ha'kedusha, ve'eno nikra yotzei klal. He really didn't leave his ohel. And he goes on and explains more with this. I saw a similar idea, a very different type of a sefer, of Chaim Shmulevitz, Sichas Musar, explains, the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, Benogeya Melacha of Soser, that you need Soser Almanas Livnos, for the Melacha to be Soser, it has to be Almanas Livnos, but not just Almanas Livnos, in order to rebuild what you're demolishing, but Livnos bin Koma. According to one opinion, you have to have in mind to rebuild it in the same place, like the Gemara from Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, where they traveled from one place to another. The Mishkan was disassembled and reassembled in another place. And for the Gemara, that since it's al pi Hashem yachanu, al pi Hashem yisrael, since they're traveling al pi Hashem, so it's considered like Sosa Amnas Limos Bimkomo, wherever you are, it's like you're in the same place, al pi Hashem, you're taking it with you. Chaim Shmulevitz gives a mashal of a baby on his mother's shoulder. She goes here, she goes there, but the baby's always feeling that they're being carried on the mother's shoulder. Similar in a way to this point, Yaakov Avinu took with him the Ohel where he went to Charan. So how does all of this speak to us? I mean, seemingly, we are all far from the Midah of Kedusha. If you were to read Mesiyos Yesharim from the beginning and you get to Perek Chavav, I think you will realize this is one of the highest rungs on the spiritual ladder of Pinchas ben Yair. It's just below Ruach HaKodesh and Tchiyas HaMeisim. And the Ramchal makes pretty clear that all the previous rungs are prerequisites to the level of Kedusha. So I think it would be more than a bit presumptuous, perhaps even delusional, to imagine that we are in the realm of a tzaddik, that our eating is akin to a carbon, that our possessions are infused with Kedusha because they belong to us, that our departure from any given place leaves an indelible mark. And yet, I think that there are some very important takeaway messages from this for all of us. And the first is very simple. All of us have to appreciate that Kedusha exists around us. We have to avoid the trap of Lavan, who was oblivious to Kedusha right in front of his eyes. It made no impact on him. He didn't recognize it, didn't notice it. We need to sensitize ourselves to Kedusha, to look for it, to feel it in our surroundings, and to let it impact upon us. We want to wake up from our so-called slumber every morning, Vayikach Mishnaso, and like Yaakov, we should recognize Hashem's presence, Kedusha Hashem Negdi Tamid, every morning that we wake up. We're surrounded by Kedusha. We don't want to wake up years later and forced to say, oh, Achen Yesh Hashem, all this time, Vanochi Lo Yadati. I was lost in my own world of whatever else was occupying my mind. If the Kedusha was there in front of us, we'd have to notice it. If Kedusha can impact upon a stone, Allah Yaniach Tzadik Es Rosho, then it can impact upon our hearts and our minds. How can we recognize Kedusha around us? First of all, Baruch Hashem, you look around the Beis Medrash now, it's amazing. A night seder, you don't have to be here. It's not part of your transcript of any kind. You're here because of Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah. Torah is Dvar Hashem. Hashem is the source of all Kedusha. Just to recognize it. You open a Gemara, you're connecting with Kedusha. Torah ennobles. Torah ennobles us. Torah impacts on us. That's number one. Not just in learning and avoda. Ebeis HaKnesses, Ebeis HaMedrash, Kedusha. Kedusha exists in Mekomos HaKedoshim. Wherever you go to Eretz Yisrael, you go to Mekomos HaKedoshim, there's Kedusha. Not everybody notices it. People go, tourists visit all kinds of places. It doesn't hit them. They're not noticing. They're not noticing. And of course, Kedusha resides in the presence of a genuine tzaddik. And Baruch Hashem, even in our generation, we have had individuals whose faces would shine with Kedusha. I had a privilege growing up, I had a schuss, of living and seeing Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal many times in Tiferes Yerushalayim, in his home. Anyone who was in the presence of Rav Moshe could see that he literally glowed, literally. If you see pictures, you see it too. Kikaron or Panav. I remember his saying Kriyashma. and remember his davening for the Umud once in the Adyard site. Just things that stand up in my mind. B'shalach Manus once in his house. The conversations were not very substantive. They were good Shabbos, good Yantif, what are you learning? Hatzlacha. But you should know, those interactions were priceless. And I think back, decades later, 30 years later, more than 30 years later, and they warm my heart, and they helped me internalize what it means to be in the presence of an emissary of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our yeshiva has been blessed since its inception with some of the greatest Gedolei Torah. As we all know, the Rav Zatzal was a towering personality. And he left an indelible imprint of Kedusha upon our yeshiva. It's a legacy that, it's the 25th Yard site coming up, this Pesach. It's a legacy that we have to recognize, we have to draw upon it. Not everybody who goes through these walls does it register for them. We have to recognize it. There are many others as well, many other Gedolei Torah who've taught here, and they continue to be world-renowned Gedolei Torah poskim right here in this Beis Medrash, right here on Amsterdam Avenue, who palpably spread Kedusha in this building and throughout the campus and throughout the world. And of course, there are exceptionally holy tzaddikim in numerous yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael and across the globe. There are people who we can say have this midah, have the power, have to impact. We have to sensitize ourselves to it. The challenge is to be open, to be receptive to the Kedusha, to open our minds and our hearts, to feel the impact, not just say, oh, it's nice for them, but to say that this can impact on us and to let it impact on us. And that's one nekuda. And then there's another nekuda I want to bring out. And that can be transformational in how we see ourselves as well, in terms of impacting outside of ourselves. If we really think about it, it's very inspiring, and we should never underestimate the power of Kedusha within ourselves. Yes, in absolute sense, there's no question that the full midah of Kedusha, as elaborated upon by Richus in Mesilas Yesharim, cannot be internalized, cannot be attained without having first mastered everything that comes before it. Kedusha presupposes that we've already internalized Yiras Chet and Anova and Hasidus and Precious and all the way back to Zehirus. And the Ramchal says otherwise it's like a Baal Mum or a Zar doing Avoda. It's all true if we look at it in the absolute sense. You don't typically skip rungs in a ladder. But perhaps in a limited sense, it is possible to embrace elements of a later Perek in Mesilas Yesharim even before we've mastered fully the earlier prakim. And Ramchal writes about Kedusha that we have to strive for it. If we strive for it, then Kadosh Baruch Hu grants it as a gift. All of us are imbued with a sense of Kedusha. It's inherent to who we are. Kal Yisrael. Ki am kadosh atal Hashem Elokecha, mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh. If we have the potential for Kedusha inside of us, then we have the ability to make a difference, to sanctify our environment with our very presence. It's not just so-called the religious places that are kadosh, the Beis Knesset, the Beis HaMedrash. Even the physical, the mundane, can be infused with Kedusha. Even as we are mutsav arsa, with our gashmius pursuits, with midterms, I think this week is midterms, or it's going to be, who knows for how much longer, but it's been already for a while. Midterms, papers, okay, people go to work, internships, people are going to hear this somewhere, maybe they're already working, so they have to recognize they're in the workplace. No, that's also a possibility. Mutsav arsa, you can do something with that. You can make it Rosh HaMagia Shemaima. You're going to relax Thanksgiving, maybe with family and friends. You have the ability to imbue those interactions with a spirit of Kedusha, the Rosh HaMagia Shemaima. And we're more likely to do that if we make an effort, a purposeful effort, to be mindful of the Kedusha in our midst and to nurture that Kedusha, to be able to share a good word, to be able to elevate the environment that we're in, to be able to touch others. But then I have to tell you there's a caveat here. Because sometimes people get too full of themselves, too idealistic. Even as we set sights to the heavens, Rosh Magia Shemaima, we want to impact positively on our surroundings. We have to also recognize that many of these mundane environments are filled with loved ones. People who are tone deaf to even the most beautiful spiritual music. We have to strive for a balance between surrounding ourselves with opportunities to absorb the kedusha of others in a wholesome place, to be anchored in the Beis Medrash, to be able to be yonik from the kedusha that exists there, and then be able to take that, to be nourished from that, and to bring it out away from that spiritual home base where we go. But not everywhere are we going to be as successful as we think. Sometimes the measure of our success is closer to home, as Yaakov Avinu, whose impact of Kedusha in Haran wasn't on Lavan. It was measured in his success of building Knesset Yisrael. Not all tents need to be open on all four sides, like Avraham Avinu. Sometimes the tents need walls. They need to be open enough for strangers who are receptive, but not for everyone and everything, because then it may not work. It may be counterproductive. You may end up losing instead of gaining. We need to know ourselves. We need to know our temptations, our limitations, our strengths, our weaknesses, in order to straddle that line. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the wisdom to discern Kedusha in all of its manifestations, to become a vehicle to embody, to spread Kedusha around us. You're all capable of doing it, each in your own way. I have to tell you, I speak for myself, I see Rabbi Simon here, Rabbein, we are very inspired by you, by the Talmidim. We get tremendous tzipuk when we are here and we see the tremendous devotion, the yashrus, the incredible desire, the she'ifa to grow as Ovdei Hashem, the chesed that goes on here. It's tremendously inspiring, and it really gives us tremendous hope in the future of Klal Yisrael. We know that the message of Kedusha is alive and well in Klal Yisrael. We should all continue to grow, to be matzliach in this area. We should all be able to continue growing mechayel el chayel.